ततापि ततो गरुत्मता मधुर्वनम दिदृक्षया वनमा प्रयायुस्त्रिविष्टपम् सहस्रशीर्षपि ततो गरुत्मता मधुर्वनम भृत्य दिदृक्षया गतः कृतवान् महाप्रययुस्त्रिविष्टपम् सहस्रशीर्षपि ततो गरुत्मता मधुर्वनम भृत्य दिदृक्षया गतः Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya continued. Te, the demigods. Evam, thus. Utsana Bhaya. Being freed from all fears. Guru Krame. Onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whose actions are uncommon. Krita Avanamaha. They offered their obeisances. Prayayuho. They returned. Trivishtapam. To their respective heavenly planets. Sahasra Shirsha Api. Also the personality of Godhead known as Sahasra Sirsa. Tataha, from there, Garutmata, getting up on the back of Garuda, Madhovanam, the forest known as Madhuvanam, Vritya, servant, Jadikshaya, wishing to see him, Gataha, went. Translation. The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the demigods were thus reassured by the personality of Godhead, they were freed from all fears, and after offering their obeisances, they returned to their heavenly planets. Then the Lord, who is non-different from the Sahasra Shirsha incarnation, got on the back of Garuda, who carried him to the Madhuvan forest to see his servant Dhruva. Please repeat. The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the demigods were thus reassured by the personality of Godhead, they were freed from all fears, and after offering their obeisances, they returned to their heavenly planets. Then the Lord, who is non-different from the Sahasra Shirsha incarnation, got on the back of Garuda, who carried him to the Madhuvan forest to see his servant Dhruva. Purport. The word Sahasra Shirsha refers to the personality of Godhead known as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Although the Lord appeared as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, he had been described here as Sahasra Shirsha Vishnu because he is non-different from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. According to Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Bhagavatamrita, the Sahasra Shirsha personality of Godhead who appeared at that time was the incarnation known as Prishnigarbha. He created the planet known as Dhruvaloka for the habitation of Dhruva Maharaj. Om Agnanati Mirandashya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Guru Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shrita Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता मस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वांछकल्पतरुभ्यः कृपा सिंधुभ्यः पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर सुवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा Read the translation again. The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the demigods were thus reassured by the personality of Godhead, they were freed from all fears, and after offering their obeisances, they returned to their heavenly planets. Then the Lord, who is non-different from the Sahasrashirsha incarnation, got on the back of Garuda, who carried him to the Madhuvan forest to see his servant Dhruva. So, today is a very auspicious day that we are beginning a new chapter. Anytime we begin a new chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam or a new canto or the whole Srimad Bhagavatam again, it is very auspicious. Because we are starting to inaugurate something. And we see until now there has been many things going on in Srimad Bhagavatam. The first canto we see, there was a first canto is basically the premise. It's like setting the scene. As in Bhagavad Gita, what is the name of the first chapter? Observing the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So in the first chapter, the scene has been set. So similarly in canto 1, the scene is set. What is going on? So Suta Goswami is asked questions by the sages of Naimisharana, headed by Rishi. And then there is how Bhagavatam is spoken, and then there are question and answers between Suta Goswami and the sages, and then there is description about the appearance and how Parikshit Maharaj, the activities, the birth activities of Parikshit Maharaj, and how Bhagavatam came into being. So the first canto is setting the scene. In the second canto, it goes into bit more detail about the devotional service. So again, in second canto also there is Swarga and Visarga explained, and then there are questions about Parikshit Maharaj asking questions to Sukhdev Goswami, Chatusloki Bhagavatam is spoken. So even in second canto there was bit of setting the scene. So the first two cantos are like the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna. And then in third canto again, what happens? There is description of Manu and his dynasty explained. And it's interesting actually. In third canto, there is a pastime of Diti and Kashyapa. And what happened there? Two sons were born to Diti and Kashyapa. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And in the same section afterwards, there's a description of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. And who was born to Devahuti and Kardama Muni? Lord Kapila. Kapil Muni himself was born. So Bhagavatam again and again contrasts between different. Bhagavatam gives us example of different devotees of what we should do and what we should not do. So it's interesting in that section especially when Diti and Kashyapa are. There is an explanation how one should progenate. If one does not follow the Garbhadhan Samskara, what will happen? Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And in the same section, it is explained how Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they followed all the samskaras, they meditated, they did a lot of austerity, tapasya, and Lord himself was born. So we see Bhagavatam teaches us the culture, the practice that one should put in place to, and in one sense, if we look at, if we study all these pastimes, the whole lesson that we can learn is how we should live in this material world, how we should perform our bhakti in this material world, and the result is predicted. So it's like a chemical formula. When you, anyone in the chemistry lab, if anyone has is a science student, he might have done some chemical combinations and got a result. But if the combination is not done perfectly, you will not get the result that you are desiring for. So it is very important. And in fact, the atmosphere, temperature, everything has to be perfect to get the right result. So similarly, Bhagavatam teaches us, gives us all these pastimes to just let us know what is the chemical combination that you need to do. And what is that chemical combination? Bhakti. So how you can perform bhakti in this material world to get a desired result. So we see, that was interesting when I was going through these sections. So in third canto also, it was more or less about devotional service and importance of devotional service, Bhagavatam, and it was more like that. But from fourth canto onwards, we see there is a change in the way Bhagavatam is put up. From fourth canto onwards, we get into the, when you understand the first three cantos, in fourth canto, you get into the different arena where pure devotional service is mentioned. The devotees are mentioned who are not ordinary. And it began with, who was the first, sorry? Who was the, what is the first pastime mentioned in fourth canto? I think we spent a lot of time.
Dhruva.
The first pastime in fourth canto. Was Dhruva? That's right. Lord Shiva. The first, the whole section, I think we spent a lot of time on Daksha Yagna. We should at least remember that because it's a very important pastime. So, because it teaches us, offenses to the devotee should be avoided, especially when you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it's a very important point. And from fourth canto onwards, there are extraordinary devotees like Lord Shiva explained. How, what is, what was the consciousness of Lord Shiva when Daksha insulted Lord Shiva?
Meditation.
He was completely untouched by the external, whatever was going on. He was completely untouched, unaffected. And so this is the consciousness we have to. Bhagavatam explains in the first three verses itself, it explains who is Bhagavatam for? People who are nirmat saranam, satam, who are free from envy. Only then we can understand Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for us to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The pastimes will go on as stories and we will not be able to imbibe anything from Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is very important to understand, especially from fourth canto onwards, it gets more denser, condensed. Because all these great personalities are explained. And now, after that Daksha Yagna pastime, we have come to the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. And the similar thing happened in Dhruva Maharaj's life as well. In the Daksha Yagna, Daksha insulted Lord Shiva. But in this pastime, who was insulted? Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his mother, Suruchi. Stepmother, Suruchi. So, again the similar pastime is going on. In this verse, it's especially it is mentioned, again in this verse also there is a contradiction. So, what is the contradiction here? So, here we see demigods are afraid, fearful. Who are demigods? Very powerful beings, right? With all these animals, ferocious animals, and alone. He was not on a picnic with his parents, no. Right? He was alone. And there's a contradiction. These powerful demigods are afraid, whereas this 5-year-old boy
was completely fearless. So what is the reason? So this is the contradiction we see in this verse. So two kinds of devotees are explained here. One are the demigods who can approach the Lord anytime. And the other is Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted to approach the Lord. So even though Lord was present, demigods were afraid, fearful. And even for Dhruva Maharaj, no one was present. Dhruva Maharaj was fearless. So we see there is one difference between the consciousness of the devotion of Dhruva Maharaj and the demigods. The demigods are Mishra Bhakta, whereas the Dhruva Maharaj explained is pure devotee. He was practicing Shuddha Bhakti. He was a pure devotee. And that's what makes him fearful. We see... fearless. Another thing we saw here was the demigods went to approach the Lord. Demigods went and saw the Lord. Whereas what is Lord doing here?
Lord himself
got on the back of Garuda, who carried him to Madhuvan forest to see his servant Dhruva Maharaj. So Lord went to see Dhruva Maharaj, whereas the demigod went to see the Lord. So you. So this is the bhakti required, Mishra Bhakti. One of the natures of material world is the solution comes with the problem. Anything we do in material world, the solutions come with the problem, a different problem. There's a nice story of a sadhu who was sitting under the tree, and he had a long beard, and then there was an ant which crawled into his beard. So what did the sadhu do? He did not want to kill that ant. So he tried to take the beard near the bark of the tree so that the ant can go back into the tree. And what happened? 10 more ants got into his beard. And then eventually they started biting him, and he had to kill them. So anything we do in material world, anything we try to solve, it creates another problems. And they are problems than the previous. So Shuddha Bhakti, because they were practicing Mishra Bhakti. Dhruva Maharaj is categorized into a neophyte devotee. Ashu and Gnani. So Artho is a devotee who comes to the Lord out of distress. Arthati is want for some material needs. Explained that Gajendra is a devotee who came out of distress, approached the Lord out of distress. Dhruva Maharaj is approaching the Lord for a kingdom bigger than his father and grandfather. It's a big ask, right? He was very desirous for wealth. Jignasu are the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Saunakarishi, and Gnanis were the four Kumaras. So Nectar of Devotion puts them into the category of neophyte devotees. So what makes, how does Dhruva Maharaj, because when Dhruva Maharaj approached the Lord, he had this desire for wealth, but the power of bhakti or power of devotional service is such that it removes all the anarthas. He just was eating berries and fruits on every third day. In the second month, what did he do? He was just taking some leaves and dry grass every sixth day. In the third month, he was just drinking water every ninth day. In the fourth month, he was just breathing, inhaling once in 12th day. And in the fifth month, what did he do? He completely stopped his breathing. He closed all the, it is mentioned, he got darshan of the Lord. Very easy, right? If we can do this in 5 months, we'll see the Lord face to face, right? So this is a solution given. So again, it comes, any solution in the material world comes with a problem. This we all can do is, right? No, it's not possible. Fortunately, Bhagavatam has got a solution. It's interesting, this verse is one of my favorites. It is mentioned, one of the questions asked by the sages to Suta Goswami is like, Krishna has left the planet, now how will the people of Kali Yuga get darshan? And Suta Goswami explains this verse, Krishna swadhamo pagade dharma gnana divisa kala nastu darshamesha pranako dhunandita. So this Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen after Krishna left to his abode, taking away dharma gnanadipisa, dharma, religion and knowledge has gone with you. He was just doing a lot of austerity and meditation, which is not possible for us. What yuga was Dhruva Maharaj in? Practically this is the beginning of creation. In the beginning of creation, Brahma is creating, and then there is Swayambhu Manu, and Swayambhu Manu has got three daughters and two sons. What are the names of three daughters? Akuti, Prasuti and Devuti. And two sons were Uttanapad and Prevata. And then Uttanapad's son is Dhruva. So this is like third, fourth generation. So this is basically practically the beginning of creation. This is Satyuga. So the process of meditation was, we see like last whole chapter is how Dhruva Maharaj sat at one place without eating, drinking, doing meditation, all this. Like, it's not possible for us. What was possible? There's a nice verse in Bhagavatam, 12th canto. Krite dhyayato Vishnu tretaye yajato makhaye dvapare paricharyaya kalav tadhari kirtanam. So what the results that one gets in Krita Krita is the Satyuga. Dhyayato Vishnu, in meditation, the same results one gets Tretaya Yajatamakaya, by the fire sacrifices in Treta Yuga. And the same results one get Paricharyaya, by worshipping the lotus feet, by deity worship, and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord in Dwapara Yuga. The same result one gets Kalavtad Hari Kirtanam, just by doing Hari Kirtanam, chanting the holy names of the Lord, one gets a same result. So this is a solution given in Bhagavatam. Because it is mentioned Satyuga is predominantly in the mode of goodness. Treta Yuga is predominantly in the mode of passion. Dwapara Yuga is the mixture of passion and ignorance. But in Kali Yuga, the predominating mode is mode of ignorance. People are basically in the mode of ignorance. It is interesting, I was just reading this in 12th canto, it is mentioned in the qualities of Kali Yuga, atheism, the smallness or an inferiority of all things, everything becomes degrading, keeps on degrading. And the devotion to the genitals and belly are very much evident in the age of Kali. So people are just serving genitals and belly. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending is prominent in Kali Yuga. But again, it is mentioned after in this same section, there is one good quality. What is the verse? Kaler dosha nide rajan asti hi eko mahan guna kirtanaya devasa Krishna se mukta sanga param rajit. So there is one good quality. Wherever there is Hari Kirtan going on, Krishna is present. Krishna is present in his holy name in Kali Yuga. So the concession has been given, because the age is so fallen, people are not going to be able to do all the austerities, the fire sacrifices, worship of the Lord in the way previous people of previous Yuga were doing. So there is a concession given. Just chant the holy names of the Lord. So that's a solution given. And as we said, every solution comes with a problem. So what is the problem here? It is mentioned if one chants the holy name of the Lord, Ahobhaka swapacho ato garyan yad jivagren vartate namatubhyam tepas tapasya juhu sasanuraraya brahmanuchu nama grihanti yete. So one who chants the holy name of the Lord, Ahobhaka swapacho ato garyan yad jivagren vartate namatubhyam tepas tapasya, he must have done all the fire sacrifices, all the austerities. He must have performed, he must have bathed in all the holy rivers and studied all the Vedas. So this is told, if one chants just the name of the Lord, he has done everything required. He has fulfilled all the requirements required in the Vedas. So what is our problem? So solution comes with a problem. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned, Bahu Janma Kariyadi. We chant this verse every morning, right? Bahu Janma Kariyadi, Shravanam Kirtanam, Tabu Tanapaya Krishna Pade, Primadhan. So on one hand it is mentioned that this is a solution to all the problems. And on the other hand, it is mentioned, even though chanting and hearing we are doing for life after birth, but still we are not getting the desired result, which is the goal of our, the prema, which is the goal of our bhakti, with love. So this is the solution given. So how many of us can chant without offenses? Very difficult, right? It's very difficult to chant without offenses. So again, there is a solution given. The solution is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How one should chant? Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi saishuna amanina manadena kirtanaya sada hari. Decades ago, like the Sant Tukaram in Ganges, every morning, some of the boys thought, let's make the sage angry today. We have never seen him angry. So as soon as Sant Tukaram went to the river, took his bath, of you, so I'm thankful to you for doing this. Imagine their situation, right? So one, he's already frustrated, but again, if somebody tells like this, so this is what Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Saisuna means. Amanina Mandina. So this is what, so we have to come to that level to chant attentively, with humility, or whatever is inside comes out, at least not in words, but in our mind it flares, right? Actually there was one devotee, and so in the Kartik Vrat, he took a Vrat in Vrindavan. This is one devotee, he took a Vrat, what Vrat should I take, he was thinking, and then he took a Vrat that somebody step on him, and he immediately looked at him and he was trying to say something to him, can't you see I'm doing prayers, and then he remembered his Vrat. So while he was taking a Vrat, this happened. So he understood it's very difficult. It's very difficult to not criticize anyone, even in the mind. So it's a very difficult thing. So what is the process given? So again, Bhagavatam gives solution. There is always a solution. Especially the solution is given in Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidhi prani patena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina stattva darshina. And now coming back to, so this whole was the prelude for today's verse. Or coming back to this section of Bhagavatam where this point is emphasized in the life of Dhruva Maharaj. What did Dhruva Maharaj do? He was angry, right? He was flared up, like he would have, if he had a power, he would have killed. So that was kind of anger he had. It is mentioned he was biting, like his lips were shivering out of anger. So in that situation he got advice from his stepmother first, Suruchi. What did she say? If you want to sit on the lap of your father, you have to go and approach Lord Vishnu first and do austerity, and then you will be able to take birth in my womb and then you can sit on the lap. So that was advice she gave. She asked Dhruva Maharaj. This is the culture actually. Like even a person who is inimical to you gives you good advice in previous yuga. So it's a culture. So right now nobody will tell you go to Lord Vishnu and pray if you want this. But this is the age. This is the beginning of creation, right? Satyuga is just... The culture is even a person who does not like you will give you good advice. And so Suruchi gave this advice, go to Lord Vishnu. And then Suniti also gave the same advice, you have to approach the Supreme Lord. And then he met his guru Narad Muni, who also gave him the right path, how we can approach the Lord. So this is what is required from us. We are, so the first point we have to come to, we have to understand is, being humble is not my cup of tea. At least for me, I have to understand that. If we can understand that it's very difficult to be humble, then we can take the next step, which is approaching the. Because if one thinks that he's not, he can do things on his own, he can perform bhakti, he can worship the Lord on his own accord, it will be very difficult for him to approach the Lord. Even though he can, even if he approaches the Lord, he will not make any progress. As we see in the case of demigods, they had access, they were access to the Lord. Anytime they can approach the Lord. Not anytime, but still they had they can access Lord. They have seen the Lord. But they are afraid of this boy's austerity. Who has not seen the Lord. Who has not known how Lord looks. And Lord is merciful to him. So this is what is required to approach a spiritual master first. First step is to understand that it's very difficult for us by on our own accord to approach the Lord. If one understands this, then the second step comes is approaching the spiritual master. And then serving the spiritual master, inquiring from him. And this definitely will give, because by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets Brahmanda Brahmite, Kono Bhagavanji, Guru Krishna, Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata, Beej. So then we can get access to this totally different realm of bhakti, which we are only practicing. We are what kind of sadhana bhakti? Anyone knows? In Nectar of Devotion it is mentioned. Sorry? Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. So Vaidhi sadhana bhakti is this. What does Vaidhi mean? Vidhi. It comes from Vidhi. Vidhi means rules and regulations. We are chanting, we are following all these rules and regulations, worshipping the deity. So we are following all these rules and regulations to come to the platform of from Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to Raganuga, spontaneity. So to come to Raga platform. And this coming from Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, we have to follow in the footsteps of Ragatmika Bhaktas. Who are the Ragatmika Bhaktas? Who are Nitya Siddha devotees who are already got Raga. Their Raga does not, they don't have to go through sadhana to understand the Lord. They are already with the Lord. So we have to follow in the footsteps of this Ragatmika Bhakta to this realm. And so when one says, approach a spiritual master, one has to take Diksha. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned, Diksha Kale Bhakta Kare Atma Samarpan Sai Kale Krishna Tare Kare Atma Sama. At the time of initiation, when the devotee fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as he himself. So this is what Diksha means. It's not just a fire sacrifice. It's not that we have got a new name. It's not like we have got adhikar to do certain things. Now we can go into the kitchen and take prasadam. No, it's not a license that we get to do certain things. No, but it's surrender. It is mentioned here. It's at the time of initiation, when the devotee fully surrenders to the service. There's another verse by Srila Jiva Goswami which says, Divyam Gnana Yato Dadayat Karyut Papasya Sank material enjoyment, and gradually becomes interested in spiritual life. And that is why we say Diksha means a new birth. So what does a new birth means? We are changing our body. We are stopping our material life, and the purpose is to get Diksha from, and we see this is the point link I forgot. In the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, the last chapter we see he advice. So this is required. Another point is one can take gold and knowledge from even a filthy place. They don't get contaminated. One can take, it comes from the mouth of anyone. So one has to be intelligent also. What is knowledge and what is not knowledge? Because if you hear to everyone, especially when you are sick, if you hear, like everyone comes and gives you what medicine you should be taking to get rid of disease, right? I heard like again from some of the devotees in India, they said like, from Western countries, somebody goes to India and falls, this is natural, one falls sick. So when he falls sick, devotees or person who is sick, he gives a different, like, given me so many medicines. So this is, one has to be careful. Knowledge is, yeah, good, taking from anyone, but one has to have intelligence. How much knowledge and from where it is coming. Just take from the authentic source. Don't take from everyone, because it will make you more sick. But the point is, knowledge and gold does not become contaminated. It might come from anyone, and especially when we go to 11th, 12th canto, there is a pastime of Avanti Brahmana, right? Probably Avanti Brahmana. He had different gurus, right? It is mentioned he takes knowledge from birds, trees, so all these things. He accepts them as guru and takes knowledge from different people. So this is what is required to perform pure bhakti. One should have been taken shelter. So what is and this is what Dhruva Maharaj was doing. He was taking shelter, he was surrendering himself to the instructions given by his spiritual master, ultimately Narada Muni. And then he was able to perform pure bhakti, which, and the problem that we explained before, given by spiritual master. What was the order given by the spiritual master Narada Muni? Just sit at one place, make a dhiti and chant this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he took this instruction of his spiritual master to heart, and he was practically doing, he was chanting, he's meditating on this mantra for the whole day, as we saw, like he gave up even breathing for the words of his spiritual master, and that is required. Rupa Goswami, actually it's interesting, there are many, these days especially, there are many psychologists, motivational speakers, many people who, other people go to, CEOs and directors and all those people go to to get motivated. But if you see in Telstra, at Telstra they ask you to go so that you become motivated, not to do devotional service, but to work harder. So, but if you hear what these motivational speakers are speaking, because one of the verse which resembles the whole lecture of those speakers is based on this one verse which Rupa Goswami said in the tree, under the tree in Vrindavan, he left everything. So, Sangha their talks. And especially Utsahan. And it's very interesting. This Rupa Goswami has given the six things which are the key for anything in your life. If you are enthusiastic, if you are Utsahan, sorry, we'll be running out of time soon. So if we are enthusiastic, so Utsahan, Nishchaya, determined, and we see these six things happening in the life of Dhruva Maharaj also. He was determined, he was enthusiastic, Utsahan, Nishchaya, Dhairyat, he was patient, Bhakti, and then associated with Narada Muni. So we see in the life of Dhruva Maharaj, he did, which is required, we were talking about, there are three things required. So Krishna, accepting Krishna as the protector, so giving oneself fully surrender to the Lord, and that gives birth to perfect humility, karpanam, humility arises. So these are the six steps of surrender. So what is it that, quickly narrate a small pastime about surrender. There was a boy called Aruni. So this boy Aruni was not very brilliant boy. He was studying in Gurukul. He was not a very intelligent boy. It took him time. He was not as good in reciting verses and learning all the scriptural rules and regulations. But he was very surrendered to his spiritual master. So once, because he was not so good at studies, so his spiritual master said, okay, you go and manage the fields, look after the fields. So he went, he was sent to the fields to look after the fields, which was managed by the Gurukul. So, and then there were goes, and that broke because of heavy rainfall and flood. So this Aruni slept whole night in the place where the wall or the fence was broken for the canal, and then to stop the water from entering the field and protected the field. Next morning, the Guru understood that Aruni was not home whole night. So they all went and searched where Aruni was, and they found in the field he was lying down, protecting the field by lying in the where the fence was broken. And they quickly closed the fence so that the water does not come up inside. And Guru, the spiritual master, was very pleased with Aruni. He said, you have done such a great job by protecting our field, understood all the scriptural injunctions. So this is what surrender means. So whenever this surrender to spiritual master, everything by heart, whole Bhagavad Gita, whole Prabhupada came to entered one of the temple, and there was one devotee who was paying obeisances again and again, and Prabhupada got angry and said, do some practical service, don't just stand here and pay obeisances. So again, this is what even Srila Prabhupada emphasized, it is doing something practical service for, and that is what not motivated. So there are three things which are required to give us this motivation. The first one is association of devotees who are enthusiastic. So as there are three things which are association of devotees, chanting and Srimad Bhagavatam. But again, it's not just associating with devotees when we come into the prasadam hall. We sit among the devotees and have prasadam. The point is associating with devotees who are serious, who are seriously practicing devotional service, which means advanced devotees, not just having a get together in the prasadam hall and having joke sessions while eating prasadam. That association will not take us very long. So having association means when you do, when you discuss Bhagavatam with the devotees, when you are taking instructions from the devotees, when you are, so that is what is given, going to give us utsayan, enthusiasm. When we associate with devotees, and if you want, there are many devotees we can find, especially we see many devotees in this temple itself, like who have been jumping up and down so heavily that they are breaking their legs. So that is called enthusiasm. And enthusiasm, one thing is there, enthusiasm is very contagious. So if you associate with devotees who have got enthusiasm, you will be enthusiastic in no time. It's really contagious. So again, I remember from Nectar of Devotion, it is mentioned, Rupa Goswami mentions, if you are attached to your material life, do not go to Vrindavan. And if you go to Vrindavan, do not go to Keshi Ghat. And if you at all go to Keshi Ghat, do not go and see this blue boy who is playing on his flute, because your material life will be
finished.
Once Gyan Samunda Prabhu was sitting here, he told me this, and I was struck by it, that a material life will be finished. So again, the same point applies. If you are interested in your material life, do not associate with enthusiastic devotees, because they will destroy your material life. So the important point is associating with devotees means associating with sincere devotees, serious devotees. The second point was chanting. Chanting does not mean that we chant while on our mobile phone. One hand we have got mala, japamala. And the other hand we have got iPhone or I something or some mobile. Right? So we have to leave our I ego aside while we are chanting. So that is serious chanting. Without only one may think, I'm just looking at this video or kirtan or WhatsApp message, which is also devotional, so it will assist me in our in my chanting. It's not that. While you are chanting, you have to be sincere. You are just chanting. You are not watching even kirtan or whatever is going on. So that is that kind of chanting is required. It needs practice. Even for me, it needs practice. It's not easy to do that. So when I'm saying all these things, it applies more. I'm just trying to preach to myself. This is what is required. Serious chanting. And the third point was Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that we have got Srimad Bhagavatam on our self at home. I've got Srimad Bhagavatam, so I don't need to worry about it. I'll come to the pure devotional platform. So many times we go to devotee's place, the Srimad Bhagavatam has not, even the plastic cover on that has not been removed. It has been there for many years. Yeah. Actually, at one place I went, in Bombay, there was a share broker, and I went to that place because my brother works there sometimes. So I went to that place, and somebody must have given this person a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the way he used Srimad Bhagavatam really upset me because he was using that Srimad Bhagavatam to put as a stand to raise his monitor. So I was just thinking, these people don't understand what they are doing. So it's not that if you have got Srimad Bhagavatam at home, that means you are doing pure devotional service. The point is study of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. That is important. So these three points will take us back or give us at least, Rupa Goswami gives this, right? Anya abhilashita sunyam gnana karmadi anavritam anukulyana krishnanu silanam bhaktir uttama Srimad Bhagavatam. Then these three things will give us this platform where we can practice pure devotional service. So I'll stop here. Any quick question or comments? Yes, Puri.
Thank you for the nice lecture and also good example of Aruni and Tukaram. Very good example.
Thank you.
Hanuman ji bas ye prarthana hai, bhule na kabhi naam tumhara. निष्काम होकर दिन रात गाएं गोविंद दामोदर मालवीय की हे कृष्ण हे यादव।